When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I was rearing to go, but hey, we're here. And so what do we have? We have a lot.
Are we starting? Is this the show?
I mean, I think so, right?
Yeah.
What are we waiting for?
Let's just jump into it. Whatever.
Let's record as we discuss what we're going to do. We've got episode for Mandalorian season three episodes. Was it 3 through 6?
Yeah, 3 through 6.
Then, I mean, serendipitous, buddy. We got tons of announcements in the Star Wars universe, which we got to talk about. I'm dying to talk about all this stuff. You know, what we both think, you know, our takes on these three movies that are locked in. We got an Ahsoka trailer. We got a little bit more information on The Acolyte, which I still can't quite wrap my head around exactly what that show is. But we'll talk about all of that. And then I saw a movie today that we are probably going to segment out into a separate episode, because a little backstage information. We are members of the Central... What is it again?
you can never get it right. The Critics Association of Central Florida.
Yes, and we love... well, we kind of talked our way into this organization. And to keep our status, we have...
Fake it till you make it.
We have we've made it now, but in order to maintain our status, we have to have a certain number of new releases. Which, as everyone, while I'm just like flying right now.
No, I love it. he did a couple lines before this, I believe.
Okay, we had that cocaine. I'm not on cocaine.
Yes, so. He's like, let me clear that up.
I'm just excited to talk about Star Wars. But if anyone has noticed, we had a little hiatus. We're back here running, and if we are focused on more, you know, recent stuff, this is kind of the reason why, for us to, as critics, we kind of have to be doing reviews of stuff that comes out, you know, that new releases, stuff like that. And certainly we're seeing everything anyway.
We just love doing this. I mean, just chatting and about topics we like, and we did it for a while where we, you know, talked about older movies, analyzed things like that. Then we switched over to interviewing celebrities, and then, you know, that got tiresome, you know, having to schedule them and all that. I mean, I still want to do that, and I'm going to continue, but now it's fun to get back to this for a little bit. You know, it's just, it's cool to, yeah, just, again, I love doing this. It's just, you gotta change it up a little, but yeah, also to keep our status in that Critics Association.
We're just full disclosure here.
Yeah, we need our free movies, you know, we gotta have them.
It is nice, and just to be a part of an organization and it's an honor for us, and we wanna stay up with that.
Absolutely.
Also, we're not giving up on reviewing old classic movies. Many of the people are here, so that's by no means done. Also, Ben, you and I have been talking behind the scenes. You used to do a lot of focus on sort of the business of Hollywood.
The box office
stuff. Yeah. So we want to start mixing in some of that. I don't know if you had that planned for this show or if you want to save that for another.
If it happens. I mean, I don't have anything planned, but yeah, I mean, I kind of just wanted to talk about what's coming up this summer and just how I think the box office is gonna be affected, just because the whole Oppenheimer being released like right after Mission Impossible and Oppenheimer. I don't know.
Op.
Okay.
It's an op.
I'm gonna keep saying Oppenheimer because I'm gonna psych myself out. So
good, man. Well, that's the thing. I mean, we're in full swing now, and a lot of these projects that were kind of, I mean, there's a absolute shit ton that is coming out this year.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, looking ahead, we've got Guardians, we've got there's that Mission Impossible.
Yeah,
movie.
Indiana Jones. Even the Barbie movie, which, you know, seems silly, but it is, you know, big names. It seems like it's going to be, again, I think that's Oppenheimer's going to have its it's not only going to be Mission Impossible the week before, it's also going to be Barbie. Like, yeah. So I think it's weird that the studio is releasing it when it is. I think that's a very bad business choice. I know there's going to be film lovers like us who are, you know, loyal to Christopher Nolan and all that. But when you're talking just casual moviegoers, who don't necessarily go to movies a lot, they're going to see the Mission Impossible. They're going to see, you know, similar to like Top Gun or, you know, the, even the Fast and the Furious movies, even though
I sat through that trailer. I've never seen a Fast and the Furious movie. You'd have to pay me to go see one, but they do have broad appeal.
Right.
They make a lot of money. And you know, here's another version of that movie. That new Transformers movie, I kind of want to see it. Have you seen the trailer?
I have seen the trailer. Yeah,
I'm kind of interested in it.
I'm kind of in the boat with Fast and the Furious. I've seen the first Transformers and I've seen the first Fast and the Furious. I think I saw the second Fast and the Furious as well with Ludacris. Too fast, too furious. but I've only seen the first Transformers. We're called Blockbuster Mentality, and yeah, there's so many of these huge movies that in franchises that I've never even touched, just because.
They seem stupid, but
I love the Mission Impossible series. I love, you know, obviously, you know, Indiana Jones when that comes out, and I loved like Planet of the Apes. I see they're making a new one with that. Like Apes, like just feed it to me.
But I do agree. I think this could be kind of make or break for Christopher Nolan in terms of getting the finance. He's just kind of been able to write any check he's wanted over basically, you know, all the since Inception, I think.
Yeah. And it's, again, he can basically make what he wants. He's proved himself in Hollywood, but still, he's not a Tarantino, because Tarantino, he's like an event guy. Like when his movies come out, it's like an event because he makes so few. Whereas,
they don't cost a lot.
Right, exactly. And yeah, we were talking about that a couple days ago. Yeah, his budget, like I said, I think Django, maybe I said, was the only movie that cost $100 million for him. Like, which, you know, in terms of Hollywood, is not, you know, that crazy. He's becoming where studios, I think, might be scared to, you know, touch him. Like, I mean, obviously it's great for the, if he was able to have a smaller budget and all that, like it would be great for like award season type of thing. But I don't know why they keep pushing his movies, you know, in the summer with all these other huge movies that I think people are going to be more excited about than the scientist who made the, you know, atomic bomb, which to me is a cool subject, but
it's going to be a great movie.
No, I'm excited
for it.
Though, yeah.
He doesn't, he's in a weird spot. He's in a weird, in many ways he found, and I think the reason why people love Nolan so much is just like I mentioned on the last episode, which is Dunkirk. He was able to thread the needle to making something technically awesome, great for the critics, and also sell a lot of tickets.
Yeah.
But after Tenet, you're just
It's
bad. It's just
right.
So bad.
Well, because I mean, yeah, Dunkirk, like, yeah, it got awards and everything. Like, was that a box office like hit? Like,
I think somewhere about $550 million for.
Okay, yeah, so that was
not a gigantic budget. So yeah, it really was. I mean,
yeah,
and you don't even think of that movie as selling a lot of tickets, but it did. There's just a lot of love. I think I'm sure Interstellar did well. Of course, we know all, you know, the Dark Knight trilogy,
right?
And Inception was really the massive one, I think, in terms of blowing everyone's socks off.
Yeah, exactly.
But we don't, and everyone kind of glommed on to Nolan because, like, he's like a more popular Kubrick or, you know, something along those lines.
And it's weird because he has a superhero trilogy. Like, that's what's crazy about him is he's like such a, you know, fantastic filmmaker and a great mind and all that. And he's come out, you know, with like the Mementos and the, you know, and the Inceptions and stuff like that. But you forget, like, he's a comic book movie guy. Like, that's a huge part of his thing. But
too bad yeah, you almost forget about it because that was a DC thing, and then
right.
Now we're in this Marvel thing where it's like those movies almost they feel like almost like ancient history, as amazing as they were.
Right. Yeah. They're yeah. It's
kind of forgotten in the conversation. And he's no longer with Warner Brothers now over the Tenet thing because I think they put it on HBO Max or something, and he had a falling out with them. So I don't even know what studios doing.
Well, yeah, I mean that's the thing about studio. Yeah, like I said, like I wonder if yeah, studios are kind of you know, especially if Oppenheimer doesn't do well. Like I can see where it's like starting to get a little nervous with him. Like
I can see it just doing okay.
But yeah,
considering or all just the other stuff that's out there, and you know, we don't. I hate to say this, but we just don't put out smart movies like that anymore. We need to. Maybe we need to get the audience back into raising their expectations, which will, you know, expecting these kinds of films now. We get a lot of just, you know, it's written to like a young adult level, so many movies we see.
Yeah, 100%. Well, it's weird because it seems like he has way more movies come out, but I'm looking here. I think it looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He's had 12 movies. He is a total of 12 theatrically released movies that he's directed, and Tarantino is 9. So it's not like he's that far off. I don't know. It just feels like you hear Christopher Nolan more, like a movie of his is coming out. Yeah.
I mentioned Kubrick. I think he had 9 or 10 total.
Yeah.
And he made films over like 30, 40 years, and that's all. It's like,
yeah.
What a sad thing for all of us. he didn't make like 15, you know.
It's sad, but at the same time, yeah, I mean it's you got like this little, you know, this collection that you can just cherish, you know. He didn't overstay his welcome, you know. You wanted more.
You want more, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, by the way.
Just a real quick thing. Every time I see this the trailer for the Flash movie, I want it so bad.
Oh, so you're excited for that one.
Oh, I think the movie looks freaking fantastic. I've seen the trailer. I think it was a Super Bowl. Every time I see it, I mean, I've been seeing a few movies over the last few weeks, and it's just, it seems to be in the slate every time.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for that movie. It looks amazing to me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, even just the Michael Keaton stuff alone, I'm just like excited for, even though like I've always, you know, been...
Yeah,
kind of critical of the whole nostalgia thing, like blah blah blah. But I don't know, for some reason, when he, you know,
there's no denying he was iconic in that role. I mean, the stuff around the films, and of course, you know, in 1989, it's a little overrated, but people love Keaton as Batman. That's I mean, that goes across generations, and he is good in the role.
Yeah, no, I agree, and yeah, so yeah, I'm definitely excited for that too. But We'll see how things go. But yeah, I mean, yeah, again, yeah, box office will be interesting this summer. But yeah, as you said, Star Wars Celebration.
Let's hit one thing because we talked box office. Mario is, I just saw this, is nearing 400 million.
Yeah.
For the weekend.
It's animated kids movies, dude. Like, yeah. Again, yeah, if Nolan was releasing a movie the weekend after Mario, he'd be screwed. Like, he would 100% be dead. I've always said that about, yeah, just animated movies. When the next big kid movie comes out, that's going to be the box office thing. Like, that's, and especially when it's property like Mario.
Everybody knows Mario.
Exactly. So it's,
I know my
talk about spanning generations, you know.
My parents know Mario.
Yes. You know, exactly.
They
so
saw
it's
me
like
playing it when I was a kid.
Right. And yeah. And you got such big names attached to it, but even if there's not, I mean, there always is in animated movies now, but still, even if there's not, you know, it's a movie that the whole family can go see, and it's, yeah, it's always going to make
money.
No one's
going to see Mario for Chris Pratt and Charlie Day.
That's true too. Yeah. I mean,
I don't think.
Yeah, you're right.
But just go, it's like it's a Baby Yoda effect, but Mario.
Yeah.
And the movie looks like a video game kind of come to life.
Yeah. It does, and yeah, I should have a review this week for it. So
awesome. Last question: is this going to be a trend? Video games, the video game adaptation to film. Is this going to be the new thing, or is it just
Especially if it's successful.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's successful, sure. I mean, yeah, why not? If it ain't broke, don't fix it type of thing. Like, because what was the, like, I would love to see like a God of War movie, but
No, Amazon is developing that. Either a movie or a series.
Oh, well, I would like it as a series.
They're doing Henry Cavill. Wow, we haven't even. I don't know how long this episode's going to be. Henry Cavill is developing a Warhammer series.
I saw something about that.
And of course HBO. We just had The Last of Us season one. So I think this ground is ripe for.
Yeah. For the longest time, it was video game movies were like, there was like no good ones. Like it was always like, is this going to be the good video game movie?
Like the old Mortal Kombat or something like
that. Yeah. But looks like maybe Mario's going to be, there was one recently that not long ago at all that I think was a good one, but
an episode with wasn't it the Resident Evil Raccoon City?
Oh yeah, I did do that. Yeah. Yeah.
The director didn't seem to care about, no one seemed to care about that movie.
I know. Yeah, he was a really cool guy though. He was a cool guy. Yeah.
But he kind of had an understanding of what it was that he did. I mean, he was a guy for hire. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. He's like, what are you gonna do? Johann Roberts. Yes, yeah. That's who it was. I forgot his name. Yeah, exactly. Check out that episode, folks.
It wasn't really a good episode, but the movie just terrible.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a Resident Evil guy. Interesting stuff coming along. So Star Wars Celebration,
do you want to kick off the announcements first, or do you want to get into the Mandalorian?
Yep. The Mandalorian. We are experts in Star Wars, so we're going to talk Mandalorian.
I love to interject, but we know a lot, but we screw things up. I had the question, as a good podcaster, I will occasionally listen back to our episodes, and I had a question. I don't think it's entirely my fault because it does require some internet research, which is the planet that was destroyed in the sequel trilogy. I go, was that Coruscant? And you're like, wait, was it? It's not.
Okay.
You assumed it was like the because I think it was portrayed as the seat of government, or it seemed to be like destroying whatever was there. And
my brain is clear now. I believe it was like Hosnian Prime was like the new thing for the Republic. That's what it was called. Yeah, Hosnian Prime was.
But in the movie, you really wouldn't know what it was unless you went and looked. I don't think it was not like the thing where they show like planet and then like down below go Hosnian Prime. Blow up. You know, kind of thing.
You're like, oh, that's the one that was destroyed. Okay.
But anyway, perfect. That's all.
Yes, exactly. Yes, we're dumb, but we're smart. We're smart, but we're dumb. So
we're close.
Yeah, exactly. So what's the first announcement you want to talk about from Star Wars Celebration?
All right. So let's say what they are.
Yeah,
we got three movies.
Yep.
We've got I just have an article here from Screen Rant. We've got Star Wars New Jedi Order. This is going to star Rey. Set 15 years after Rise of Skywalker, is directed by Charmin. I hope I get this right. This name right, Obaid Shenoy, written by Steven Knight. I don't know who that is. With Daisy Ridley reprising the role, it follows Rey rebuilding the Jedi Order, and I think that's as much information as we have.
Looks like she had something to do with Miss Marvel.
Yeah, she has a bunch of it looks like a lot of indie credits directing.
Okay.
Yeah, and she directed two episodes of Miss Marvel. Next up is basically what we're called the Mandalorian movie, directed by Dave Filoni, which from my understanding is going to tie up all the threads, which I think is of the Mandalorian, but I would also think Ahsoka is my guess. I don't know if that was specifically said. And Boba Fett. I think all three of those series, and we don't know exactly how long the Ahsoka series is going to go. But I think they're all leading up to that one movie.
Yeah.
Does that check with you as well?
Yeah, that seems like that's the Yeah, that's the trend. Yeah, I believe so.
And then third up, we have Star Wars Dawn of the Jedi, written and directed by James Mangold, going to tell the story of the very first Jedi, set 25,000 years before whatever.
Yeah, yeah. That again, I'm very happy they're we're obviously going to talk about each of these ones you just announced. But yeah, I'm glad they're getting away from things and going to something we haven't seen before.
So which one are you most excited about? Let's start there.
The Mangold James one? Yeah, the James Mangold one. I mean, that's,
so let's start there.
Yeah, yeah. This Dawn is, of the right, Jedi. Now, yeah, go for it.
From, and I think this will probably inform my opinions as we talk more through these things. What I like the most about this is you're putting this movie in the hands of a good director and writer.
Yep.
Number one. That basically solves two-thirds of whatever concern I have and confidence in the project. James Mangold is fantastic. And I hope, just quickly, you know, the indie movie, this thing better impress me. It's kind of where I'm at. We'll see.
Yeah.
Now Mangold he did this movie, or indie movie. He's doing the Star Wars movie. He's also writing and directing a Swamp Thing movie for DC.
Yeah. At the same time. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So he's got a lot of. Did you have his filmography up? Because I know.
Yeah, he's got some interesting credits. His last movie that came out was Ford vs. Ferrari, which I'm not a car guy at all, so I wasn't that excited to see it, but I really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
But I mean, my one of his that totally makes me excited for this movie is of course Logan.
Logan. 310 to Yuma, correct?
310 to Yuma he did. He did Walk the Line.
Walk the Line.
With Phoenix.
You're talking across genres.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He has such an interesting filmography. He did Copland in 97.
You blew it.
Girl Interrupted, yeah, Kate and Leopold.
Which is a good movie.
What else? He did The Wolverine before Logan. But we'll give him a pass on that. I'm certainly excited for just because of him alone, but also the subject it's on. I mean, again, what is it called again? Rise?
Dawn of the Jedi.
Dawn of the Jedi, yeah. So,
it's kind of the movie a lot of the people were saying Knights of the Old Republic. We didn't quite get that. But we're removed from the Skywalker thing, which we'll talk about that in a minute. But there's now just, it's a clear field for you to play in.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. In your creativity. And I feel like I'll just say this. I feel like the weight of the previous six and now nine movies are really that they continue to just put you in this weird box of possibilities.
Right.
And now I feel like hopefully he's a writer director. Hopefully they give him the freedom to do what he wants and to accomplish his vision. I think this could be the movie that could be great.
Yeah, because I mean, you think about it. Yeah, just thousands of years before that, like so many things can happen. Thousands of years, so many stories, so many, you know, different families, different.
It's wide open.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like you don't have to, other than the rules of the Force and things like that. Like you don't have to abide by the rules that are set in this. What we know as Star Wars, the Skywalker saga. So
yeah,
it's going to be exciting to see what he has in store and what, sort of him play kind of in the sandbox.
Yeah, I think it's great. I will say this is the best thing. This is the best announcement by a mile.
Definitely. The only thing, I mean, I should probably just bring this up after, but I'm going to bring it up now after we talk about all of them. But like I said to you, like, oh, great, movies that are announced that will just be canceled anyway. Because
I think
that
is
the trend.
I think it's different.
I mean, what's different, though?
I think this is a message heard. It's so much to the point where everyone's mentioning it. I think these movies are locked in.
Yeah.
I think everything else, the Ryan Johnson thing is dead. I think everything that they've announced otherwise is done. There was even something about the Kevin Feige thing, where it was like, oh, well, it was not official. I think everything we've heard up till these three are done, and I think these three are going to be made. I really do.
I mean, I obviously hope you're right. But yeah, I mean, I would I would hope so, because, you know, it's, I don't know. It's hard,
so you're just not confident.
Hard to say. Yeah, I'm not confident. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like, yeah, tale as old as time. Like, it's just ever since these whole things came out, like, they had to finish the trilogy, the sequel trilogy. So they were like, all right, just bring in JJ and just finish it. But like, even Solo had problems. Even Rogue One, which is probably one of, if not the best thing Disney has done, had problems. Like, they had issues with that whole thing, you know, where
I didn't realize they had brought in Tony Gilroy, who ran the end. I didn't realize they had brought him in to mop up Rogue One, which ended up being a good thing.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So it's like there's been nothing but issues with everything. Because Colin Trevorrow was supposed to do Rise of Skywalker.
Script. Did we go over this? It was called the Duel of the Fate script.
That's a very good script. Dan Franco did like a reading of with his actor buddies.
Yeah. And then they axed that and then gave us one of the worst... Really one of the worst movies
to
come out in a long time.
Yeah, it's...
expectations were.
I mean, it should tell you, I've revisited Solo. I have not revisited Rise of Skywalker. And I didn't...
zero interest.
And I gave it a favorable review, probably just because I wanted to like it so much, but... Solo, I was hard, you know, I gave a negative review, I think, for that. And even that I revisited just to kind of see, like, was I a little hard on this?
Yeah.
But yeah, Rise of Skywalker.
I haven't gone back to Solo. Has it improved in your...
No. I watched it, you know, when it first came out on digital or whatever, when it first came out, you know, after it was in the theaters. So it's been a while since I revisited it, but it was still cringy.
For all my anger at The Last Jedi, that's one I think there are things you can take from that movie that do improve over time. There's rage-inducing problems with that film, but
yeah,
there are also some good stuff there that I think does get better. Rise of Skywalker, it just kill it. I will probably never watch that movie again.
So some of the things with Last Jedi, like, I'm so glad he did, and, you know, I love the balls on some of the things he did, but yeah, a lot of it was just like, too, like, what are you doing? Like, this makes no sense. Like,
for one thing, I can, this Dawn of the Jedi is actually a book. So I don't know the extent they're going to be drawing from this material, which is actually really encouraging, because it seemed like for a while Star Wars was not really dealing with any of the previous source material, which I'm not all that familiar with, but I know a lot of people are, and they're like, these are good stories. You're making these bad movies and there are these good stories.
Well, you know, they've been taking things from like the old books, you know, because they were never Lucasfilm approved or anything. Like, it was always just, you know, kind of third party type stuff.
Right.
But you know, they've taken stuff from it, you know, they've Thrawn, you know, just the, I say it with that emphasis, Thrawn, like I was going to say something else too, but that was the only one.
That's the one I can think of.
Yeah, I know. But no, they have done other things, I know, from old books and things like that. Like, but
they could have been directly adapting from these things before they made the sequel trilogy.
Exactly.
Just last thing, this is Dawn of the Jedi is a book. And I believe this Jedi is this person is a female.
This Jedi is.
Whoever this Jedi, whoever that is. So there's like a Twi'lek, and that's all I can tell.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying the author, whoever this Jedi is.
No, it's just in terms of who this character, main character might be for the movies. I think it will be a female, but I'm not entirely sure. Even if they're going to be adapting it based off this book, I have no idea. So that's all I got on that.
Yeah,
I'm very excited. James Mangold, this is how you should be doing it. This is just like the way we haven't really talked about DC a lot, but they've got James Gunn in charge, who was a writer director. He's going to be writing and directing the first Superman movie. I couldn't be more excited because at least I know someone who makes quality films is they're not just handing it off to someone else. It's not a corporate decision. You're putting it in the hands of a writer and a director. So this is why I love this choice for Mangold.
Real quick, you can just tell me, and I want to talk about that, but real quick, what was the deal with Blue Beetle? You like tweeted something back to James Gunn about watching Blue Beetle.
Oh, there was in the trailer, which the trailer looked good. But there's a comment from, I think it's the George Lopez character during the trailer. It's the Blue Beetle character played by the kid from Cobra Kai. Anyways, he said like, yeah, this is like Batman stuff. And then off in the distance, George Lopez goes, Batman's a fascist.
And that rub you the wrong way?
Well, it to put that line in a trailer rubs me the wrong way because, first of all, well, for many reasons.
Got you going on a tangent
you asked me. This is probably, I'm assuming this is some sort of a funny moment in the film, and there's something to that character that why him making that comment probably makes him look stupid. This is probably my guess, and I'm being charitable. But in a trailer, you don't have that context that right. You have while watching the film and what the script's doing. And so all I'm getting in a trailer is a DC movie having a protagonist connected character call what is basically their cash cow character, which is Batman, because God knows they've made 5 million Batman movies over the last 30 years, a fascist. Why would you put that, even if you're going to keep it in the movie, fine, because there's probably a good context. I'm being charitable. Yeah. Why you would put that into your trailer is the height of stupidity for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a weird line to put in there. But yeah, I was confused because I hadn't watched the trailer yet. So I was like, what is he talking
about?
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
For a character most people don't know, that it looks, we're kind of, it's almost like the Shazam thing. It's like, do I really, and audiences, I think, are actually James, I'm like all over the place, but James Gunn, there was a quote there that I retweeted on my feed. If you can find it, James Gunn's amazing. I love James Gunn. He said something like, yeah, superhero fatigue is real. This is what he said.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know why? Because we're putting out, essentially what he's saying is, if we're not making interesting films, then people are going to get tired of it.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why, and he's the one that came out with Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, he's the one that made that. And that's one no one knew, you know, what that was. You know, people obviously knew of Iron Man and Hulk and Thor and all that. But
what gets sort of forgotten is that Guardians of the Galaxy do a lot of the heavy lifting of making what became the Infinity, the Thanos stuff, the cosmic stuff, the believability that this guy is going to come down and destroy the universe, making it seem plausible.
Yeah, definitely. So back to Star Wars.
So much in this. We're talking all over the place.
The Dave Filoni stuff I'm excited for just because I trust Dave Filoni. He has a passion for Star Wars. I don't necessarily care for him revisiting, you know, going into Mandalorian and that kind of finishing as a movie, if that is the case.
It's the Filoni
verse. I'm not crazy about it. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. But I am excited for it because I trust him. And I think, again, he knows Star Wars. He knows what the fans want, but he also loves Star Wars. So that's why I feel like I trust him.
I hear all that. I'm a little.
I hear with my ears.
I agree with everything you said. I think I'm a little less confident. Bottom line, we know he loves Star Wars.
Right.
We know he cares about these characters, and a lot of the times we get shows and movies created by people who are really there because they've been able to talk their way into a job. We know Filoni, he doesn't seem like that guy. I mean, he's an absolute nerd. I mean, he's a guy who wears a cowboy hat. Why? I know you're a dweeb because you wear the hat.
That's how I know. Spotted him.
And he's been doing this stuff for decades. He is an absolute Star Wars nerd. And he's been writing all this stuff and been involved. Of course, we know the Clone Wars. However, he's never directed a feature film before.
Yeah.
So this is can go either way, which is it's hard to say he's not qualified to do it, but it's a little risky. And then maybe this is his reward for kind of putting in the time and building this kind of this little pocket of time period, between the two trilogies that he's been exploiting so much for the Clone Wars, of course, Ahsoka. So we know Ahsoka is going to be in this movie.
He did Star Wars Rebels too. Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, Rebels. Yeah. We know Ahsoka is going to be, if it was up to him, Ahsoka would be in everything.
Yeah. He loves so, Ahsoka. This we know.
So in terms of his directorial skills remains to be seen. I suspect Jon Favreau is going to be involved in this as well. As a producer or something like
that. Yeah, I would assume. They seem to be buddies now, so yeah, probably. But yeah, well, it'll be interesting regardless.
I think makes sense to tie these stories up into a film. I think the general audience will know these characters, and so, yeah, make it into a movie. I don't know how much, how consequential it's going to be, it doesn't matter, maybe. Maybe this is just, a Grogu Mandalorian thingy.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. I think Filoni's earned it. I don't think that means this is, I'm not excited about it.
Right.
If you put this on Disney Plus to me, I'd be
No, I was going to say, I think that's a good, let's talk more about that when we get to Mandalorian, because I think, I have some
thoughts.
You got
more on that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, so real quick with the Rey movie, I know you're excited for this one, right?
Not going to be real quick. Well, you can cut me off. I think this is a terrible choice.
Yeah. Well, first of all, before you go on, I haven't been as hard on Rey as you have, calling her Mary Sue. But I do agree with you. I think it. First of all, they shouldn't be continuing essentially the Skywalker saga. Like, done. Let's stop. Like, enough. But yeah, I do agree with you, but yeah, get into why.
Look, the sequel trilogy was a failure, on a whole. Now, The Force Awakens was a massive, massive hit. Every movie following that did worse and worse, and left really just bad. And here's the thing: Rey is not popular. It's not my opinion.
Mm-hmm. It's not my opinion.
I don't like Rey. Okay, fine. She is not popular. I in fact, I did some research on this. I will go quickly. I was curious. Is it my own bias? And I'm going to try to do this as fast as possible. I looked at actual polls. There's one from 2023. Rey is about number 10 at 2% in people naming their favorite Star Wars character. This comes from Statista. You can look this up. It's a 2022. This is a 2017 survey. So after the massive hit first movie,
were there any sequel trilogy characters above her?
But no, she's number one.
Okay, I was just curious. Okay,
but people like the thing they like. If people loved the people spent $2 billion on the first movie. If I loved Rey, I'd say Rey.
Right.
Number one was Yoda, Princess Leia, Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, R2-D2, okay. Chewie, Obi-Wan, Darth Vader, Rey at 2%. Okay, here's another one. Do you know the website Ranker, where you just basically press down? Okay.
Yep.
So this comes from. I just love that I did this. This comes from last year. She's she's not the in this one. The Mandalorian is number two. Han's number five. Ahsoka number six.
As in Din Djarin.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
They just call him, and this one they call him.
Yeah.
So it's not just that it's new. People are like, I only like the old ones. Ahsoka's here at 7, Luke at 8, Yoda at 9, Obi at 10, Darth at 11. She's not in there. Here's another one. This comes from Joe Blow, a poll of 5,000 people from May 2020. Number one is Darth Vader, Han Solo, Obi-Wan, Luke, Ahsoka, number 4.
Yeah, Boba, I like number Ahsoka. 5.
And so where is Rey? Where is Rey? Oh boy, I can't find her. She's at
point taken.
2% for Rey. Rose Tico got
just under 1%. Here's another one from you, a poll from YouGov. This is you tell me to stop. This is 2019. Darth Vader's number one, Palpatine number two, Maul. Oh, these are villains. In terms of protagonist Han Solo, Luke, Obi, Yoda, Leia, Rey at 5%, followed just 1 point beating R2-D2 the robot. And I got my final one, an IGN poll from 2020. This is Darth Vader number one. Raise that on the list. So
point made. I see what you did. Yes, it makes sense. The I agree with you that she's, you know, not popular, but I will play devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. They're not going to bring back these old characters, you know, essentially this, but so obviously she's the one that keeps coming up for the sequel trilogy. So in that regard, I can see why, you know, they would bank on her.
No.
Okay.
She's not popular. The series took a nosedive. Nobody wants this film.
Did it though, money wise?
Okay, the movie made $1 billion, but it is $1 billion less than the first movie. I mean, everybody went to go see it's Star Wars, right? I mean, it's very rare for a Star Wars movie to the Rogue One made $1 billion.
Yeah.
And no one knew anything. I think people went to see the conclusion of the trilogy. They don't like these characters, and if you walked out of that movie feeling good, then you were in the really, I mean, not say you're in the minority, but if you thought that was a really great movie and you couldn't wait for the continuation of the story, I would say you're in the minority. You like Star Wars and you like it, but you don't like Rey. You don't. Who loves Rey? Even the parks have this problem where they made everything sequel trilogy themed. People don't like it. When the Disney cosplay people come out, the crowds follow R2-D2, 3PO, and Vader. No one cares what the girl dressed as Rey comes out. They don't want a picture with her. They want to get one with Chewie or something.
Do you want to get a picture with Chewie?
I do.
Yeah,
I don't want to get one with Rey. Or Kylo. People like Kylo more than Rey.
Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah, Kylo. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's you got the cost, you got the mask, you got the dark, you know. It's I agree. And even, you know, just star quality, like Adam Driver, I think is a better actor than Daisy Ridley, like
100%. I mean, what is Daisy Ridley? I think she was in the Orient Express movie. Other than that, you know, it's a Mark Hamill situation. Let's be real about the acting ability of Mark Hamill.
Right. Yeah. Let's be real, folks. He's a great guy, funny, great interview, you know, but let's be real on his acting. But yeah, I mean, I agree. It'll be interesting. I mean, it is Star Wars. It's going to make money, but at the same time, yeah, I don't think it's the best idea and the best use of this property.
Here's the other problem. I'm sorry about the name, but Charmaine Obed-Chinoy.
Yep, her.
Okay. You have zero. You've not directed a feature film at this level ever before.
Right.
I don't think that's the best choice. We're talking about James Mangold versus someone who has directed two episodes of Marvel. And look, these shows, and for all the praise people get for directing the, you know, The Mandalorian and all the Marvel shows, you know, these directors aren't doing, they're doing stuff, but they can only change so much. They're in a system that has been already determined by the showrunner. They can't change the way the looks are. They can't change the way the camera is really all that much. You're making sure people hit their marks. I think this is a terrible choice for a director.
Yeah, I can see why. I mean, my whole thing, I mean, I've said it on the show before and all that. Like, again, if it's a female-driven movie, it doesn't have to be directed by a female. I'm fine with, you know, it, but, you know, I'll take whatever flack I get, whatever. Pick the best choice. Like, I understand giving people opportunities, people, minority people and women and all this, but at the same time, like,
it doesn't seem,
let's just make good movie. Like, that's what people want, really, is just give me a good movie.
Yeah, it's $200 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
On an unproven director.
Right.
I it maybe
she's going to knock it out of the park. Fine. But betting odds, it looks, it doesn't look smart to me.
Now, the one thing I agree.
Yeah. So you can tell where I'm landing on that.
Did I make everything weird by saying what I said?
No, you made it. I think you made a good point.
I mean, I understand, you know, it's, you know, something where, you know, I can see it being an issue, you know, obviously, you know, it seems to be a male driven industry, all that. Like, I get it. Like, all, you know, I get that whole thing.
I don't know, Catherine but Bigelow, it's just, I don't know, I'm just throwing a name out there.
Yeah.
Not Patty Jenkins, because that seems to have died now.
Well, she that's another example of this. Every movie getting shut down. Her movie got shut down for Star Wars. Like, geez,
yeah, everything. She was going to do the Rogue Squadron, but then she made Wonder Woman 84, and then everyone wanted to kill.
And then
her.
They're like, ooh.
So yeah. So we'll see. I mean, but my point is, maybe this director is great, and you know, I don't know. But
yeah.
I think you need to put it. Star Wars is not like for fun. It only was that way in the beginning.
This is serious. It's not for fun.
Well,
all right.
It's not for. Well, I don't know. I'm gonna put that away. I don't know. George Lucas was he was making a lot of really cool stuff, and he had this idea, and then the people around him made it better than he could have ever imagined. You know, you look back to those, to Star Wars and Empire.
Yeah.
The kids love them, but wow, I don't even know if kids now could handle how adult those movies were.
I know. You know? Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I guess that's why back to the Dave Filoni thing, like he worked directly with Lucas on Clone Wars.
Yeah, I think he's earned.
Yeah, definitely. But
he's never made a feature film before, but I think he's earned it.
I don't agree with, having another Rey movie. And my main issue with it is, it being, again, the Skywalker saga. And it's just like,
nobody wants it.
Come on, let's do something
nobody
else.
Nobody wants it.
Let's do something else.
Yeah, one piece of trivia in there, last thing on this. Someone did the math on this. This movie is going to take 15 years after to take place 15 years after Rise of Skywalker, which I think will make Rey something like 35 or something. But more interesting than that, which gets into the rumor I mentioned a few episodes ago, Grogu will be 91 according to this math.
Oh, apparently, yeah, because isn't he supposed to be in this movie too?
Well, that was I don't know about not this announcement. The rumor, which maybe is gaining some traction, was going to be Rey, Grogu, Chewie, and R2. Now, Grogu will be nearly 100 years old, and I believe that's about the time Yoda maybe started training.
Will he be talking then?
Yeah, he'll be like, "Fuck you." Those are his words.
You never know. You never know.
Does your heart? When I mentioned that rumor to you a couple episodes ago, you were not thrilled about it. Was your heart warmed to that?
It's realistic now though, which is weird because they announced this Rey movie, so it's like it's realistic that this will happen. We'll see what's happening.
Oh, the other one last thing. Sorry, I keep saying one last thing. They've not released a timeline. Have you seen this?
Yep.
This is interesting because now they have this thing kind of laid out. I guess my question is, I just hope we're not trying to satisfy the timeline than we are just trying to, you know, tell good stories.
Yeah. Dawn of the Jedi, the Old Republic, the High Republic, Fall of the Jedi, Reign of the Empire, Age of Rebellion, the New Republic, the Rise of the First Order, and New Jedi Order.
Yeah.
I assume New Jedi Order is where the Rey movie is.
That's right, yeah. So I guess the thing I don't kind of like is we separate these things into buckets, right? And then we're like, since we can't contradict the movies, now we'd like, we fill in the bucket, whatever bucket we choose. I kind of don't, that feels like the approach, which I don't like. It just feels less organic. Am I wrong there in feeling that? Or because like now we're in the Filoniverse, right? Between...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So what? You don't like that they put out a timeline? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. It's like now we have to call these stories this thing.
When it's
Star Wars, we didn't know what the fuck we were watching. It was just that's what made it so awesome, because right. we get little hints of little things, and even and those little hints built up things into our mind. Now right. it's like, well, this actually takes place in the blah blah blah. You know,
it confines it. We're in like kind of boxes it in, like we've been saying, you know, it gives you. I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't give you free rein to do what you want with it. You have stay in this box.
Yes. Because like the Mango movie. What's the one that right after that period? Is it the High Republic?
So Dawn of the Jedi, the Old Republic, High Republic.
So it'd be like, well, a James Mangold movie, how is that playing into the Old Republic stories that we're planning on telling? So like that's what I don't like. If that limits Mangold in any way, shape, or form, because they have some future Old Republic thing that is locked in,
right?
Then fuck that. You know, that's what I.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, I get it. I get it.
Tell 9 movies. If Mangold movie is a hit, make 9 movies from that. I don't care.
Right.
And I don't care what it does to anything else. Just make them good.
Well, we'll see if any of these movies get made. Like I said, that's what I'm saying. We'll see if any of these movies get made. I'm kind of with you there. I think they will, you know, but who knows? Who knows at this point? If Kathy Kennedy is done, then...
But yeah, but she's been fired for the last 10 years. Every fucking day, Kathleen Kennedy's out.
Oh, man.
Yeah, she's gonna stay there just to piss everyone.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not going anywhere. No, I'll go on my own terms. I don't know, but... How you liking the Mandalorian?
What I think of Mandalorian? So we the first two episodes, we talked about. I think I had come to peace with what the show is, in terms of it being, you know, that kind of pulpy, episodic kind of a thing, and I was okay with it. You know, it doesn't have to be the best quality, but we were both complaining that we weren't getting enough
of right.
what the show was. I had also mentioned that. It seemed like we were moving far away from that space western, you know, man rolls into town with a gun, fixes a problem, moves on to the next town. We're way past that now. That's season one is a distant memory of whatever that we thought that.
Yeah, you watched the. What we thought the show would be. Yeah. If you watch the first episode now and then watch the latest episode, you'd be like, is this the same show? Is this like, is he just wearing the same the same costume, but he's a different character now?
Right. That kind of like man with no name thing. And it just feels, and I had said, it feels like Pedro Pascal is getting more disconnected from the show. And now that feels like that. Your journey is complete.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, it seemed like, season. I mean, the whole him saying goodbye to Grogu, like, was a great, you know, when Luke took him, like, was a great, like, kind of send off and, like, would have been a great finale for Din Djarin. He learned his. I'm not saying I wanted the show to end then, but, like, you know, he learned more about himself. Like, it, great character development, and now it seems like he's a side character in this show, to be honest.
There.
Yeah. And
I don't want to go over the whole helmet thing, but it almost makes sense because this jackass won't take off his helmet because of a stupid reason, maybe because of contractual reasons with Pedro Pascal. He's now just a voice actor. It makes sense because it doesn't work with a guy you can't see his face. So we say, okay, we have these other characters who can show their face. Namely, say Bo-Katan, she's basically the lead now.
Yeah, she is, and you know, which I'm not that I hated her before or anything or disliked her really. I just was just meh to me. Bo-Katan was, but I'm liking her more and more.
Yeah, she works.
I will say
she's
that
good.
Katie Sackhoff, she's great. So yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it, but yeah, I'm a little disappointed that the Mandalorian Din Djarin is a side character at this point. We talked about the first two episodes in our first review of this season. We got 3, 4, 5, 6 episodes 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
Episode 3 was interesting because it basically had nothing to do with Mandalorian. They put a couple scenes here and there, but it was all about Dr. Pershing, the guy who was like kind of helping what's the dude's name Mandalorian is a very complicated profession. Hans, not Hans Gruber. What's his name? Dr. Pershing was like working for the client, I think he was called in the first season.
Is it Werner Herzog?
Yes, that guy. Yes. Yeah. What was this episode with Dr. Pershing? Like,
this
was
like Andor Light or Diet Andor for 40 minutes.
It came out of nowhere.
It switched gears and then went to that style of storytelling. But it just was so jarring.
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt like the act. So here's a big problem with these last few episodes. With the exception of Bo-Katan, with the exception of really the characters that we've kind of known up to this point, everyone else that comes in new, they don't feel like they're real. They seem too modern and out of place. All of them, I feel like, even the Persian character, he makes this big speech in front of the Senate. It feels like almost like a TED talk or like a speech you would see today. It didn't feel like it was in a galaxy far, far away, a long, long time ago, kind of a thing. I don't know. It just was very jarring. And then we get to the amnesty program. And then he meets the girl who was there with the Giancarlo Esposito character.
Moff Gideon. Yeah.
Gideon. Now, this is not a good actress. So,
yeah.
Now, I was torn between is she playing him? Is she being genuine and just playing it bad? Or is she so over the top? It's so obvious bad.
neither worked. Yeah, but like you said, it was definitely jarring. I mean, it was, but I assume it's gonna lead somewhere. Like, you know, I assume Moff Gideon's gonna show up, you know, and you know she's kind of still working for him. I mean that's clearly the obvious thing, but okay, fine.
I got problems though. So because he's like, I must do my research. I have to. Okay, why?
Right. Because I told my mom I would.
Right, but you know your research only led to bad things. Why do they want to kill him rather than kidnap him to what they had before? Like, why set him up?
Right. Yeah. 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 But like, it wasn't like he was going to give information of what they were doing. Like, yeah, like, yeah, what was he doing that was so bad that they needed to set him up and put him out of commission
rather than use him? I don't
That didn't make sense either. Maybe they thought at this point he would try to sabotage it or something, you know, he wouldn't fully be there, but even so, it's like, why go through all the trouble of silencing him?
Right.
I don't know,
it was very drawn out. Now the one thing that they are showing that I don't like is
another thing that Dave doesn't like
is the new, they're basically what they're really trying to show, and they're backfilling the sequel trilogy, which we had zero explanation for when we got into the sequel trilogy, which is why the New Republic failed.
Right.
This made you get into this movie, you watch the Return of the Jedi, you get into the sequel trilogy. What? We're just back to where we started. We killed Palpatine. We should be okay, right? No, we've got that. we've got Hux and doing his thing. So this kind of shows the I guess bureaucratic evil of the New Republic. They're just faceless jerks, and they
like Tim. They're not faceless. Tim Meadows was one of them.
Tim Meadows, yeah. But like, he goes into that with the whatever that brain scrambler machine is, and no one will talk to him. It doesn't seem any really. I guess what they're trying to show is that after they defeated the Empire, they had a really hard time of changing course, and they ended up just kind of being the same bad guys that came before them. I guess is what they're trying to portray.
Yeah, I mean, and so yeah, they're saying just once evil rises, it'll just start rising again.
I don't
know. Type of thing, but maybe they'll show that Palpatine is pulling the strings again.
The string puller. I love the string puller story. That's the tops for me.
But yeah, that episode was definitely jarring. And then they get into in the next episode of them getting to where the armorer is, like they're holed up in that other planet, and you know, because Din Djarin's basically trying to get back into the Creed, and you know, get yeah, you know, basically say I bathed in the waters, like, let me prove myself to you, all this. And that's when you get the whole kid getting kidnapped by the, or not kidnapped, but attacked by that big creature that flies in. What'd you think of this episode?
Well, we got another monster of the week kind of a thing. Not yep. so bad.
Yeah, this was the type of episode where it was, yeah, just kind of, I mean, you get some more information about Grogu, which was cool, but
we also get to see him do his Mandalorian, he did the one-on-one with the other kid, right? With the paintballs and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he did the jump thingy and then he got him. It's okay, I guess.
Jump thingy. Yeah, I mean, they're really milking Grogu, man. They're really milking Baby Yoda, aren't they? It's, you know, it's fine. It's a fun thing to watch every week. But yeah, it's like, yeah, where are they going with this type of thing? It's getting more cheesy, I feel, too.
It's getting cheesier. Yeah, yeah. And the production quality seems to be going down.
Yeah.
A bit.
Yeah.
And now, just to throw this out there, apparently the viewership is way off this season.
Really? I didn't know that.
30, 40%. It's like something huge. I think part of that is the long between season two and season three. But it also is kind of the thing we mentioned just a few minutes ago, which is this isn't quite the show we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Or that
I'm not, Din Djarin was a badass, like, the first season, like, and just didn't care. And just, you know, you want to see him grow and things, which he did with Grogu. But yeah, it's like, you don't see any, like, again, it's not the Mandalorian. It's the other characters, it should be called.
Which episode was it with the Krayt Dragon? Is that season two with Timothy Oliphant?
I was gonna say, wasn't that Boba Fett? But no, you're right. It was season two. Yep.
That may be the best Mandalorian episode so far.
Yeah, I really liked I remember raving about the one where all the Mandalorians came up and saved him on that one planet, Weathers planet, like in the first season. I remember really liking that
was great.
But
until we learned more about them. And then it
just kind of gets lame.
They're not real people. Again, they're not
right.
They're not characters. They're just things that are with like colors.
Yeah,
that's all they are.
But the big thing in this episode four, The Foundling, or chapter 20 in the whole series, The Foundling, was the flashback with Grogu. You see the Jedi who saved him, Kelleran Beck, who, of course, was played by Ahmed Best, who played Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
So he got some redemption, I guess. He's the one who saved Baby Yoda. So yeah, we got to see a little bit more of Order 66 and how Grogu escaped all that. So, but yeah, it just goes to show that there's other, you know, how other Jedi did survive. You know, it wasn't just Obi-Wan and Yoda left. It was, you know, Luke, which kind of puts a little, I was going to say, well, yeah, again, it contradicts itself because, again, Yoda said, when I die, the last of the Jedi you'll be. But maybe because Luke actually went through training. But no, those did. Actually, they did too. Anyway, I'm just talking myself out of every reasoning I'm having. You're just like, I don't get into the lore and think about that stuff. I just get angry.
There is another.
Yeah, there is another. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. There is another, which is, Leia.
So long as someone's there.
Oh, but that could be Ahsoka, too. I remember Nerd saying that. After.
Of course.
Yeah. That's what he could have meant.
Did you think of the sequence?
The sequence of what?
Well, Grogu getting rescued.
It was cool.
I thought it was cool, too.
It was cool seeing Coruscant again and, you know, him driving through Coruscant and all that. Like, I thought it was fun. I liked going back to that. Yeah.
Now, as far as Ahmed Best, I don't care because.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he got a lot of hate. It's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jar Jar sucks. So it's like.
But it's not necessarily his. Yeah, exactly. So it's like the man, the act, you know, the person behind it, you know, it's cool that he got to, you know, kind of get redemption in a way.
But
you
did
know,
he. I'm sorry, but did he have. That wasn't his voice, right?
No, it was.
Oh, it was?
Jar Jar, you mean?
Ahmed Best did the Misa?
Yeah, he did the Misa.
Well, yeah, then he gets part of the blame, then. I was feeling better until he told me that. I thought he was just the guy wearing the thing over his head. And...
No, yeah, it was his voice, too. But still.
Hey,
George Lucas said, yep, that's good. Yep, good job.
Oh, the kids are going to love this.
They're going to love it. It all centers around Jar Jar.
It was nice to see because, you know, there was a lot of fan theories and the one to rescue. I'm glad that I actually think this was a good way to do it and to bring him in because he was really good in those scenes. I'm at best.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought he was great. I really
was a believable Jedi and all that. So yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, I thought that was cool.
It didn't just feel like it was like they threw him a bone. He knocked it out of the park. So yeah. Good for him on that. That is a redemption.
Definitely.
Yeah. Going back to what you said, I was a little confused on the point you made about when Yoda said, you know, well, there might be another at the end of it. Yeah, who are all these?
Yeah, they're
who are all these Jedi. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yes, Ahsoka.
I get what you meant, but we're just going to...
Yeah, because he said, when he's on his deathbed, he says, when gone am I, the last of the Jedi you will be.
What a liar. Luke.
Yeah, what a little liar. little green little liar. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I'm saying.
This is like statements
you were so confused.
I will make, the creators will oppose or whatever.
But yeah, this episode, yeah, again, the adventure with saving the kid from it's called a raptor, apparently. Fun little adventure, whatever. Not great.
It's enjoyable. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Basically what it does is it gets Bo-Katan and the good graces of the clan because they weren't.
Yeah.
Because she comes in, and I think I did the waters too, and you say you got to accept me, and they're like, oh, she's take the helmet off, and she's from the old people, and she don't believe in the creed. But then she goes and she saves the kids. So it's like, this is the way now.
Yep, and she this is the way now. Bo-Katan actually tells her about the Mythosaur and how
that's right. Yeah,
I saw it. They kind of
is that real?
Yeah.
What did,
is it?
No,
are you asking me?
Yeah, yeah. In reality, did she? So this is the part I don't get. I still don't understand what the Mandalorians believe in terms of, I guess, just wear the helmet and why don't we fight?
Well, I mean,
is what she saw real or was it manifested in her head? She saw a real Mythosaur in the water?
I mean, I don't think it's that deep. I think she saw it. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Kids are watching this, like, you know.
Why can't it be deep, though? Why can't it be a thing?
It's just not, and it wouldn't make sense to me. I want it to be deep too, but it wouldn't make sense that they would show that and everything. Like, oh, and then it ended up being, oh, it was just in Bo-Katan's mind. Like,
there are things like, I don't know. Some people say they saw Christ. I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't understand what the religion is, or is it not a religion? I don't know.
There's the Din Djarin creed he's a part of, which is that kind of religion. And you know, when Bo-Katan first showed up last season, they basically said, like, your creed is like old fashioned, or you know, that kind of thing.
She's making fun of it.
Basically, yeah, like the whole helmet thing, yeah. But I don't know if the original Mandalorians were that way. I have no idea. There was probably a time when I would have been interested in knowing, but
it's called a mythosaur.
Yeah,
which implies that it's
a myth.
Osaur.
All right, let's get through these couple episodes. The pirate was the next episode where they basically Carl Weathers needs help, and they send he recruits Din Djarin again to help him because pirate, the guy with seaweed.
As you predicted from our previous episode, whatever happened was episode 1 or 2, when Din escapes, this is going to be trouble ahead, I think you said. And
I mean, it was obvious that he was going to show up again.
They bring the pirate ship back to, I guess, they just start blowing shit up. And it's so hilarious. I mean, the aesthetics, this is just like a 17th century pirate ship. I mean, the guy on the deck, he's like an old scallywag. He's got
right. Yeah, like what what universe is this? Like, what is happening? At the same time, it's like, you tease him at the beginning of the season, but then you kill him the next episode he's in. Like, it seems like I was kind of getting into him. I was like, I was like, all right, cool, all right, let's see what goes on with this, but no, let's just kill him off now. Like, he's gone, he's no longer a threat.
Din Djarin is maybe not the best fighter in the world, because that appears to be Bo-Katan in terms of physical combat, but he's probably the best pilot in the galaxy. I mean, he wrecks he kills like 10 ships an episode.
He's a great pilot. I'll give him that. But yeah, again, Din Djarin has nothing to do in any of these episodes. Like, again, it's all about everyone else. Like, I don't know. That's one thing that's rubbing me the wrong way with this whole thing. But essentially they save the whole episode is, them just kind of saving Carl Weathers' planet from these pirates who basically... because Carl Weathers killed his men, so I'm gonna overtake. But so is that whole planet just one city? Like, I was thinking, like, so that
seems
just,
like,
I guess that's Star Wars in a nutshell. It's like one little area of a planet.
There's
planet.
Yeah, that's probably the most where most people are.
Yeah, but yeah, essentially they save the day, and the whole thing is Bo-Katan can take off her helmet, the armorer says, because she's kind of part of both, you know, and she can reunite all Mandalorians and you know, essentially take down whatever they're trying to take down. I don't know what they're trying to accomplish at this point, just getting back Mandalore or something.
Yeah, that seems to be the thing. And then the armorer is like, well, if you can, because we know Bo-Katan lost her fleet, so if you can take your helmet off and be sort of the bridge between those Mandalorians and us in the Creed.
Yeah.
So to bring them into our fold, basically, to bring them back.
Yeah, so they're not in exile, essentially, and, you know, have to be in hiding, which I don't know why they have to be in hiding. Like, is there certain people after the Mandalorians? Like,
yeah, it's kind of weird, because, like, as far as we know, when Din gets to Mandalore and there's no one there, and there's nothing wrong with the air. So it's like, why don't they just go? You don't even have to retake it. You just go.
Right. Yeah.
There's nothing to take it from.
Just leave. Just go.
What are you gonna do? Oh, I guess they were afraid it was radioactive or something. I don't know.
I don't know.
What do you think of Tim Meadows in this episode?
I thought Tim Meadows was in the,
I think episode 5, I got it here.
Okay, you're probably right. For some reason, I thought he was in the Dr. Pershing episode, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because this is where the X-Wing pilot that we met in season 1.
That's right, yeah. So, sorry, folks, I thought he was in the other episode, but flies, you're right.
Yep. I guess he flies to Coruscant or somewhere. I don't know where he flies to, or wherever the...
Well, I mean, I thought he was fine in the episode, but yeah, I mean, it's starting to get a little jarring, especially with the next episode. There's a certain person that shows up. So it's like, this is the celebrity of the week.
You're doing comedy type of thing. Yeah.
Also, Tim Meadows was fine. Like, it wasn't, you know, it was whatever, you know.
I was waiting for him to drop an F-bomb. I don't know why.
One of these days we'll get an F-bomb in Star Wars, maybe.
Also, we get the Kane character again, who seems to be popping up everywhere. She was in this.
Which one is she?
The Moff Gideon person.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
she
yeah.
She shows
yeah.
up in the when the X-Wing That's guy right. shows yep. up. She's like, "Oh, hey, what's going on? I love the New Republic."
Like, let me persuade you this, or you know, persuade like, you to do this.
Oh man, I like it's so obvious. How does not anyone else see how bad you are?
Exactly. Well, and then that leads to basically, yeah, that X-Wing pilot finding this wreckage of Moff Gideon's prison transport, yeah. and you know, essentially saying, "Oh, he escaped and it looks like
I kind of like that
there was Beskar alloy and Mandalorians broke out Gideon so, yeah my thing is do you think it was they're setting up the Mandalorians or if do you think it was that I think it's Axe Wolves especially in the next episode
I tend to think since Beskar is so hard to come by I tend to think they were hired for that job to break him out
that makes sense Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, because after the next episode, Guns for Hire, there's only two episodes left this season. So yeah, I mean, I could see that where yeah, Bo-Katan took over the clan and now, but then finds out they might be working with Moff Gideon. But yeah, I thought that was a cool little scene at the end.
They're not loyal. I think they just do whatever anyone
plays. Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah. Again, Guns for Hire is this next episode, which, again, I was alluding to as celebrity. What'd you think of Jack Black in this episode?
Weird.
Yeah, it was a little jarring.
Okay, let's just say
very cheesy.
Lizzo. Let's just say Lizzo.
Who is Lizzo?
Lizzo? She plays the flute.
Really?
And I've seen her ass in the thong about 100 times.
Okay. Interesting.
You don't know Lizzo?
I don't. I have no idea who that is. Okay. I mean, I do now because
she's a musician,
she's
a rapper. She wears very revealing clothing. I'm surprised. You are so. What are you, like an old man? You don't know.
I know. She wears very revealing. Under a rock.
She's very body positive.
Okay.
Put it that way.
You go, girl.
Yeah. Wow. What did it say here? It's just so bad. This is like a B movie.
Yeah, this was a weird episode.
B movie, but I'm shoving it in your face and I'm proud that I'm a B movie.
Yeah.
And I don't care because, hey, I'm doing it. I don't know what this is.
I don't either. Well, and even the beginning when that Axe Wolf shows up to that, I don't know what they're called, not Mon Calamari, but the other ones, and it's like a princess or something.
Oh, where the Mandalorians are like tracking them down as bodyguards.
Yeah, and then Mon Calamari's in love with her or whatever, and it's just like...
It's like the worst dialogue.
This is weird, yeah.
What is it? This is... Well,
worst dialogue, it was, we all were kind of looking at each other when we were watching it, me and my family, even when Din Djarin said, "You had me at battle droids," like when they said that line, like I was just like, what? Like,
yeah,
what?
Why?
Yeah, where is this? Unrelated, because John Favreau wrote this episode, but Bryce Dallas Howard directed it, so...
I don't know.
With that what you will.
I don't know what's happening here. Now, what's interesting is this the story is actually kind of cool. It reminded me a little bit of kind of a classic Star Trek story, where it's like you end up in this unfamiliar place, and there's like the technological stuff, and then there's some kind of a social problem or an experiment that you're trying to like work out, which is,
well, this is like, go ahead.
Yeah. No,
I was just going to say, this is like the old serials, you know, just like, this is the story of the week, you know, this is what their mission is this week.
Right. You kind of had the ideas of like, and it was kind of mentioned by, I think, the Christopher Lloyd character, this like,
which he fit in this episode.
Yeah. I thought he was good. Yeah. Well, like the idea of like the dependence that a population has on droids. That's interesting. Let's explore that. And then they don't. Or, and then like, what do we do with these, or and expanding it further, what do we do with these droids who are very helpful, but Some of them are apparently what does this mean for us to protect ourselves as human beings? Although we're kind of like, we're loving the fact that these droids do a lot of the work for us. How do we have to face a hard choice? But they right. don't really, it doesn't go anywhere. Like, it brings the idea up, but then it's not the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, the main story point, you know, obviously is the end with Bo-Katan challenging X-Woves. You know, that's the main story point. But yeah, I mean, it is essentially, yeah, you go to a planet and this is the issue we have to resolve.
The planet was cool. You know, they ended up, it's very like everything's locked down.
I actually was legitimately laughing at the Jack Black stuff, but not like in an embarrassing way. Like, I just find him hilarious. I love Jack Black.
Oh, he's hilarious.
But like, it doesn't fit in Star Wars. Like, it's not Star Wars at all.
No, you know, Jack Black is not. I don't know what it was, he a count or a captain or something like that.
Yeah,
that's not Jack Black. Jack Black is kind of like the loser who needs to realize his potential as the episode goes along. Like,
he
knows a truth that he can tell the main character, like, oh, you're looking for this part, I have this part, but the problem is I can't give you this part because these other people are trying to screw with me and they're wrong. And then he finds a way to like rise himself up and then become the captain. I don't know. I feel like I'm like vaguely describing like every Jack Black story.
But no, definitely.
That's where he's great. That's why we love Jack Black, because he's kind of like, he doesn't quite have his shit together. And then he finds it as the story goes along. And this one, he's like already got his shit together and he's just being absurd. And then we have Lizzo, who is a terrible actress. I mean, she's actually very likable. And her interactions with Grogu were kind of nice, but she can't sell a line of dialogue to save her life.
Yeah. Again, this was my first encounter with her. So, but yeah,
she's likable.
Why
is she in my show?
The whole thing. Yeah. This whole thing was not Star Wars, but
why is she here?
So it was interesting how they figured out how they were going to get Bo-Katan the saber. You know, didn't have to be a showdown with her and the Mandalorian like it seemed like it was going to be. They not happy with this? It was just an easy way to write it in. Like, it was just like,
they put my
actually, he lost the saber during this encounter and she saved him. So now she gets the lightsaber now. So they don't have to fight to the death for it.
Why bother?
Well, wouldn't she have known that too? And been like, it's mine now. Like, I saved it. Like, why wouldn't they have done it already? Like,
and for all anyone knows, the story could be fake.
Exactly, that too. Like,
or just hire a thief.
Yeah,
like, what is,
so it was like, no, we need Bo-Katan and him to be friends still, so you know they can't be against each other, they're both protagonists, so we can't have any sort of conflict in regards to this subject.
Look, this is like two steps forward, two steps back, basically since season two.
Yeah.
So Gideon is coming back.
Yeah.
The Baby Yoda left and came back. The Darksaber we created, I don't know this. I have to admit, I'm a little rough on my what the animated series, if there's a rule about the Darksaber that was addressed in those shows. I don't know.
I don't know if they address it. I just remember her saying, them saying in the Luke Skywalker episode.
You have to win it in battle or whatever. Okay, so what if it falls out of my pocket, then that's our loophole. You create this tension, which is essentially pointless.
Right.
We just, from the if you've ever seen the YouTube channel Pitch Meeting, super easy, barely an inconvenience. What was the point of it?
Right. Yeah. All for nothing, you know. They Ryan Johnsoned it.
Just,
you know,
give it to her, because who cares?
I know.
Well, I was buying apples and then, you know, somebody robbed me and then Bo-Katan came and took it from the robber, now it's hers. Okay. What is the point?
That's how that works.
I don't know what. It's dumb. It's just silly. A total contrivance. It's like they wrote that whole episode that we talked about when they went in just for that point. Because they're like, so they introduce, oh, this could be great tension. What do we do? Oh, I don't know. All right, we got to get out of this. Let's just have some weird creature take Din, so he drops the saber, and then Bo-Katan goes and gets it. And if you remember that back to the episode, it was like back and forth. We're walking through the cavern, Baby Yoda. We were talking about that.
Right.
It was literally just for that point, so she can tell them he dropped it. It's logical. Yeah. I guess it all fits. It would have been just fine, you know, because in reality, it would have been fine at the end of season two for him to just give it to her.
Right. I know. You're telling me, dog. You're telling me. I don't know.
That sucks.
It's silly. It is silly.
You create rules and conflict that never, just find a loophole out of it.
Yeah. Just, all right, now let's just have him lose it. And then she can just
he's like,
it.
He going to drop it. Fall out of his pocket.
And then, oops, it's hers. All right. Yeah, it's terrible. You know, it is what it is at this point.
Please,
you know,
save. Well, we got two episodes left, and I know we're going to talk about it. So
yeah,
please save the show for me, because as far as I can tell, you've literally gone nowhere
right
since the end of season two.
Yep.
Because she lost her army because of the saber with some stupid rule that no one knows or cares about. So, like, what has changed from the end of season two?
She could have just paid Din Djarin to say the story about it and, like, you know, paid him to, you know, hey, say this and then I'll get the Darksaber, you know? Like, yeah, I know.
In many ways, but this has been a waste of six episodes.
Waste of six episodes.
But there we love Star Wars.
We do. We really do. As confusing as that might sound, we do love Star Wars. Oh, man. But, yeah. So, yeah. That's our Star Wars talk. Yeah. There you have it. We'll see what the next two episodes bring. All right. Well, I know this has been, obviously the air segment will be segmented out, but, it's been a long episode. I know, folks, but yeah, thanks for hanging around. You can find Dave at Dave_Quist. I'm at BC Court on Twitter, at Blockbuster Mentality on, Instagram, at Blockbuster Cast on Twitter, blockbustermentality.com. Find all our latest episodes. Bada bing, bada boom. Dave, it's been a pleasure.
I love you.
I love you too. All right, folks. Well, that is it for us. For Dave, I'm Ben. And as always, grab some popcorn, grab some snacks. We'll catch you guys
at the Star Wars hate.